Well, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles. And before we start, I want to start with Proverbs chapter 4. Before we start, I'm going to start with Proverbs chapter 4, whatever that means. This great verse I want to set for you because of the things that consistently happen in the world. And of course, they tend to report that which is the most shocking or that which is the most scary or whatever. That seems to be what people are attracted to. But I want to set this for you because regardless of what is going on, it does not matter the culture. It does not matter the times. It does not matter the situations. This truth is the truth God has set for us. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The perfect day will be when Christ returns and we be gathered together with him. And it also includes the resurrections. For us who believe God, we are the just, and our path shineth as a light more and more all the way unto the perfect day. So it may seem that the world is growing darker and darker, and that is a reality. It is. But our path shineth brighter and brighter all the way unto the perfect day. That's what God says. That is what's going to happen. So we might as well just align our lives with that and look and continue to be the brightness day by day as we go forward. This morning I wanted to share on 2016, let's see the new you. Because as we begin a new year, many people want to make some changes in life. We make resolutions to try and put us on a new plan for these changes. We set up resolutions. However, resolutions without resolve fade and disappear. They're kind of like the concept of a camera. You know, they resolve, they go to nothingness. You resolve a photograph, you just keep fading and fading and fading until there's nothing there. We need to be resolute concerning our resolutions. We need to make a decision that we are going to keep them. Usually, when people make resolutions, we start with our appearance. You know, we'll cut our hair or we'll grow our hair. Shave our beard or grow a mustache or trim our beard. But that inward desire for change is usually reflected in some outward manifestation. Lose weight, maybe add some muscle, change our hairstyle, perhaps change the way we dress and get updated to the culture and those kinds of things. And none of these are necessarily wrong or something to be reproved. But, and however, a new look will not cover old fears. Those old fears, I like to call them is somewhat mental jags. That negativity that keeps coming up and you keep falling back into that negative mindset. Suspicions that develop and are allowed to develop in your heart. You know, the scriptures say, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, are you suspicious of yourself? Then why allow suspicion to be part of the way you look at other people? Why allow these mental jags and these negatives to dominate your life? If you want a change, it has to start from the inside and moving outward. There can be truly a lasting change for the better if we know where to start. And let's start by going to Romans chapter 4. Chapter 2, rather. Romans chapter 2. And we'll start taking a look at some of these truths that I want to go over with you so that you are clear on God's will, because the path of the just shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In Romans chapter 2, if we desire to make a change, look at verse 4. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" It is the goodness of God, His forbearance and longsuffering, that leadeth thee to repentance. If we want repentance, which means a change of direction, you're going one way and you want to turn and go 180 degrees away from where you were going. 180 degrees away from fear towards faith. 180 degrees from unbelief toward believing. It is the goodness of God that will lead us to that change and direct our way to that which is positive, from darkness to the path that is a shining light, shining more and more unto that perfect day. It's a change in direction. Repentance means a change in direction. Some of you may have seen swimmers, like in an Olympic pool. You see swimmers where they go all the way down the lane and then they do what is called a flip turn. And when they execute that flip turn properly, not only do they make that turn effortlessly, but they also gain speed as they start going back the other way. That's where we want to get. We practice it until it becomes effortless and maintains or adds speed to the changes we desire. What it is that will help us change and move in the new direction, what is it? The goodness of God. It leads us to change, not away from change. It will take you right to the change of direction you desire. Now, it says, this is kind of put in the negative, but we're looking at it from a positive, because he's giving them some reproof in this particular situation. What we want to do is gain a positive understanding from it, because he says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness?" No, we don't despise it. We like it. We love it. We want more of it. But the word riches means an overflowing abundance. And what does he overflow in abundance? Well, it says the riches of his goodness. He has an overflowing abundance of goodness. The word goodness is benevolence, a sweetness of disposition. Isn't that beautiful? God has a sweetness of disposition. It also, that helps us and leads us to the change that we desire, how to execute that flip turn, how to make it effortless, and how to gain speed after we've done that turn, is forbearance and long-suffering. Forbearance means that it allows you time to change. It allows you time to do it. If you are coaching a swimming team, they all have to learn to do the flip turn at the end of the pool so that they can make the turn effortlessly and gain speed as they go in the direction that they want. If you are impatient with your students, if you are impatient with your swimmers, you're not going to be too helpful in them learning to execute that turn, getting comfortable in executing that turn. You have to practice forbearance. You have to be patient with them. And that is exactly what God is. Not only does he have a sweetness of disposition, but he is very patient and long-suffering. Long-suffering means a long time before you would get angry. A long time before you would get upset. We have a lifetime to learn to make the change. But we don't want to absorb our life in learning to make the change. We want the rest of our life to be in executing and speeding away. Executing and speeding away. It takes time to learn to make the turn, but we want to become good at it, so we don't absorb our entire life in trying to make the turn. We want to execute it and be gone. So we get the prize. It gives you time to grow up. This word repentance means a change. But it's always in relationship of going from what is bad to what is good, what is profitable, what is a change from what is sickness and corruption or decay to what is healthy and revitalizing. That's what that word repentance means. It's a change not because your mind is pained or you're ashamed, but because you are so encouraged to live virtuously. They tried to make me go to rehab. I said, no, no, no. It's a positive change. It is a positive change. It's not because you are so pained. It's not because you are so hurt, but because you are so encouraged to live virtuously. You can see it out there. You can see it. And you want to learn to make that flip turn and head right toward it and win the reward, win the prize. Let the goodness, the sweetness of God's disposition lead you to that change without a threat. The world's way is, you lead him astray because you do not teach punishment. I've had people offer that as part of how I function and teach the ministry. But the scriptures tell us it is the goodness of God that leads us to, not away from, repentance. So either the scriptures are right or the world is correct. But look at where the world is. They are in that category of knowing not that it's the goodness of God, his forbearance and his long-suffering that leads you to repentance. So the knowing not means without understanding. And there's a reason why the world does not understand it. It is because they have never tried it. They will not do it. The scripture's been in the Bible all along, but they will not do it. Now, you find it a lot among many Christians. But in our culture, it is so true that they do not understand it. And the reason they do not understand it is because they have never tried it, and they will not try it. We still write into our insurance policies, you are covered except against acts of God. And then they describe the acts of God as destruction. That doesn't sound like sweetness of disposition, does it? Or God's upset with the Gulf Coast, and so he wipes it out with a big storm. That doesn't sound like long-suffering. That doesn't sound like forbearance. That doesn't sound like a sweet disposition. Now, either God is right in how he describes himself, and we have perceived him wrongly, which means we need to learn to make that flip turn and start heading in the other direction. But, you know, and if you have a charge against your insurance policy, you know what? They'll go into court, and legally they will say that was an act of God. And the judge there is going to sit there, and you know what he's going to say? That storm sure was an act of God, and they're going to deny your claim. So where is the world at? They say we need punishment to help people make change. The scriptures say his sweet disposition, his forbearance, and his long-suffering will lead us to that change. Don't you want to be led that way? Isn't that a wonderful way to be led? Boy, oh boy. So does the world believe in the goodness of God, his sweetness of disposition? No, no, no. Look at Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Probably should have told you to keep a ribbon there. And here is why even most Christians miss it. Proverbs chapter 4, it says in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, the foremost, the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is to act upon the knowledge of God. That's what wisdom is. It is acting upon the knowledge of God. Wisdom is the principal thing, not just to have the knowledge of God, but to act upon the knowledge of God. That's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Get in the habit of acting upon the scriptures. And with all thy getting, get what?
Get understanding.
Most Christians are perpetual students because they read, but they do not apply. Therefore, they do not understand. But as a student, you think, I need to read more, and I can't act on it until I understand it. You will never get there. Because wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what?
Understand.
That's the way to do it. So you become a perpetual student, and therefore they do not understand because they have only read it. They have not acted upon it. So then what do? They reread the same thing they just read, hoping that their heart is going to finally get it. But you know what? It will not get it because you have to act upon the knowledge of God. And with acting upon the knowledge of God, get understanding. Something. But understanding comes from the one thing that a student has not done, and that is act on the knowledge that he or she has received. Apply the word with a believing heart. They've read enough to do it, because every scripture, every section of the word gives us enough information to do it. But you will not understand it until you do it. We do that all the time. We talk to people about how to sow bountifully or how to abundantly share. And we tell them right up front, you won't understand it, but try it. Once you do it, you're going to see why it works. You will see why it works. But then when it comes to love thy neighbor as thyself, when it comes to guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it comes all of the issues of life, we fail to do it. I don't understand that. How am I going to do that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. How do I do that? Simple. Quit leaning to your own understanding and going back and saying, I got to read this again. That's all I understand out of it. I got to read it again, and I'll read it again and say it to myself 2,000 times, and I still don't understand it. Why? Because you have not acted on it. How many times do you need to hear it before you will act on it? They've read enough to do it, but they have not believed, and they are in the doubter's dilemma. They want to understand the word, but they will not act on it. And that's what happens to people. But God is good, and he has a wonderful sweetness of disposition, and he has forbearance, and he has long suffering. He will allow you. But one of these times, you're going to have to step out on the word. Just act on it. How did Jesus walk on the water? I don't understand it. Well, he stepped out on it. But I don't understand that. That's probably because you've never walked on water. But the first step you got to do is step. Get out. Let's look at the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. And get yourself convinced that God is good. How often?
Always.
We say it, but we allow those doubts to linger. Psalm 100, verse 5. This David knew. He says, for the Lord is what?
Good.
His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. The path of the just groweth brighter, or shines more and more unto that perfect day. To all generations. That truth endures to all generations. People talk about the Battle of Armageddon. Excuse me. And all of the evil and things that are coming. Still, the path of the just groweth
brighter,
shines more and more unto that perfect day. That's what God says. That's what he means. Will the world get darker? Yes, it will continue to get darker. Stop looking at the world and keep looking at the word. Because it endureth to all generations. It endureth to all generations. Healing died with the apostles. How could it have died with the apostles if it is truth and endureth to all generations? So at the Battle of Armageddon, will they still have healing? If it endures to all generations,
yes.
If it's truth. Will his mercy be everlasting? I've heard people say at some point, grace runs out. Mercy, grace. How can it run out if it is truth? Let's talk truth and not philosophy. Let's move away from those things, sayings and things that sound great, but they lead us back to the darkness, lead us back to the fear, and encases us in those fears. Let's not put a new dress or a new coat on it. Let's not give it a haircut or a shave its beard. It's still philosophy, and it will bring us right back. It's a lousy cover for fear. Why don't we live in the brightness of the glory of God, where life really has vitality to it, where life really effervesces? See, no wonder that David always turned himself toward God. The Lord is good. He is good. That is his nature. To not be good, he would have to go against his very nature, and that's an impossibility. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. I want to read this. It's a sort of a long record, but I want to read it to you in the context and in light of some of the things I've just shared with you. Matthew chapter 13, it says in verse 1, the same day when Jesus, Matthew 13, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And now he's going to set the reason. For, the reason why. For, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables. But what is he speaking? Spiritual truth. Those who grab hold of the truth and walk out on it will have more. They will have abundance, more of abundance, and more shall be given to them. But those that are just sitting there, they're just listening to it, they just hear it, and they do not step out on it, what's going to happen? Even that which they have shall be taken away. Not because God takes it away from us, but they do not use it. Do you ever not use something for a long period of time, and then you can't remember where you left it? That's exactly the reason. They just let it sit. And they forgot where they put it. I'll put it in a safe place. I always do that. I'll put it in a safe place. And I cannot remember where that safe place is. And so then I don't have it for a long period of time. But that's what happened to him. Therefore, verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they
understand.
Why? Because they haven't taken the knowledge and turned it into wisdom by acting upon it. And they do not
hear.
Understand. They do not understand. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their what?
Heart.
Because they have acted upon it with believing. Remember, believing issues from where?
The heart.
And we're going to cover some of these things in the next few weeks. but it's interesting to me, their heart has waxed gross. The word gross means to be covered with fat. And why does it get covered with fat? Because you do not exercise. How does your body get covered with fat? Well, the next thing you know, we all want to jump to. That's probably one of the resolutions we made, because we sat and ate all during Thanksgiving and Christmas and then the New Year. And now we want to lose a few pounds. So we make up a plan to exercise. Why? Because it gets rid of the fat. Do you think God is saying something to him? It means to be covered with fat. It's from lack of exercise. You just sit still. And verse 15 says the heart. Believing connotes action, and they are not doing any action. Therefore, their heart is unmoved by the word. God tells them things, or men of God, prophets, tell them things, but they are unmoved by it. And if you are your heart is unmoved, you know what's going to happen to it? It gets covered with fat. It's the figure of speech. It's not talking about, you know, you're sitting there with a glob of fat on your heart. Oh, you didn't do that. You got a glob of fat on your heart. But we do recognize that physically those things do happen to people. But he's just saying these things to show you the importance. Because if fat allows to accumulate around your heart, you are going to have a heart attack. And your heart will become dysfunctional. That's your physical heart. But we want our lives to be filled with health, invigorated, effervescing with health. Therefore, we can't allow ourselves to have a heart problem. We need to start exercising ourselves upon the scriptures and doing them, not waiting. And we cannot allow our hearts not to be moved by the word of God. And it happens. Oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, I remember that scripture. Yes, you must not allow your heart to be unmoved by the scriptures, because no matter who is speaking it, it is still God's word, and our hearts need to be moved by the word of God. Well, people change. You know, they make resolutions, but what they're moved by is the culture. They get the new hairstyle, they get the new clothes, they get the new bod, maybe. You know, they start doing their exercise program. get our beard shaved, to get a tattoo or three. But the heart remains in the same place with the same fears, because you have not exercised it on the Word of God when God said, "Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We're waiting for something to happen to our heart. It is only when you are going to step out on the Word of God with confidence and boldness, the fears will then start to go. Practice the sweet disposition of God toward yourself and toward others. Many believers act like God's mad at them all the time, or God's upset with them, or I broke fellowship and God's not going to talk to me. How in the world are you ever going to get out of fellowship? Because every time I read the scriptures, God is speaking to me. It's an ever-present truth. It endureth how long?
Forever.
And I must allow my heart to be moved by the Word of God. We have known and believed the love God hath to us. 1 John 4:16. It's kind of our theme verse for beloved of God. We have known it and we have believed the love God hath to us. And therefore, we live like men and women who are loved by God. Then fears go. Not because I memorized the scripture, but because I have stepped out on it. I have known it, and I have believed it, and I live like someone who is unafraid because his love so surrounds me. His love is at the center of my life. The sweetness of his disposition goes before me and points out the way to me. Do you believe his sweet disposition will lead you right to the change you desire, from bad to good, help you make that 180, then you're stepping on the right trail. Your heart is moved by the scriptures. Let his benevolent nature shine in you and begin on the inside. Let it show you there is nothing that makes a lasting change from the inside out but the Word of God. Let it invigorate and revitalize you. Let's let 2016 be that time. It's going to be a shining year. Bless your hearts.